Cheers, mates. Welcome to God's Idiot Abroad, Thoughtful Thursdays, Episode 1. Stanley Ray, a.k.a. God's Idiot Abroad, coming to you again from Malawi, Africa. In this series, on Thursdays, we will talk about thoughtful topics. I will get into a little bit of our thoughts and feelings and how it makes us feel. Yes, it will be that kind of thing. For this episode, we have a special guest, Harry Ndabwe, who is an entrepreneur in Malawi, also a leader at church, also a social organizer, leader, mentor, and a perfect person to talk about how he sees the mental and physiological and social impacts so far of COVID in Malawi. So great topic, a lot of thoughts and discussions from Harry and a lot of insight from maybe a direction you haven't thought of or even heard about yet from Malawi, Africa. So join us as we get started here with Thoughtful Thursday. Hello, Harry, and welcome to God's Idiot Abroad, our first episode of Thoughtful Thursday. And like I've said, the intro, what we're going to do and what we're going to discuss is just mental health and how to be more thoughtful, more kind with COVID going on. That's obviously the main topic of the day, the main topic of 2020. And so I just wanted you, as a guy that's out there in the social circles and a leader and a mentor in Flood Church and in a lot of areas, I wanted to bring you on. I appreciate you being on as a special guest. You guys, give a good warm welcome to Harry Ndabwe. Harry, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. First of all, I'm really grateful to be part of this, Daniel, and thank you for considering me to be part of this. You said, my name is Harry Ndabwe, and I am part of the oversight team at Flood Church. We oversee all the activities of church, making decisions and disciplining people and all that stuff. It's quite amazing experience for me. Being the youngest in the team, I'm really grateful to God for the opportunity. We also meet young people, we mentor them, we disciple them, we offer counseling. And I also do these things outside church where we go into the wilderness, where we meet young people, you know, we talk with them, we build up relationships with them. We, you know, talk about a lot of issues, mental health to be one of the, you know, major part that we also talk about. We pray with them. We talk about school. We talk about relationships. We talk about work. Just anything and everything that people, especially young people, brings on the table. So we discuss and you know, help them out.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. So you stay pretty busy.
Yeah. A lot of people say so, but it's all about, you know, scheduling yourself well, managing your time better, and staying healthy also while you're doing that.
Yeah, I'll also say Harry didn't mention this, but I'm one of his customers. On top of everything he just said, he also has a successful pallet conversion, pallet recycle business that turns wooden pallets into fantastic pieces of art. That are sometimes also furniture and other additions to your home. So I'll give him a shout out right there because I've bought a few things and man, I just really am impressed with the quality and the craftsmanship, the designs, and you know, I support you and you guys do a great job. So I'll give you a plug on your business even if you're not going to.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. Hey, so getting back to COVID just a bit, kind of tell me a little bit about personally, like you're a very social guy. Obviously, you got a lot going on. You're out in the community.
you're a leader in church, you're on the welcoming committee, and you know, a part of the ship, as you said. And so, like, tell me a little bit personally about what impacts have the social distancing had on you as a social guy, like as a mentor to youth, as a church staff member. Like, what kind of feelings have you felt over the last couple of months as Malawi's been back and forth on lockdown, not lockdown, social distancing, masks? Thank you for the mask, by the way. I bought a mask from Harry. That's the one people have seen when I'm riding around in the Pajaji, you know. So, but tell me a little bit about what impacts this all has had on you and your mental psyche and your social well-being.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Honestly, to be honest, this whole thing, the COVID-19, has affected a lot of people. I personally have been affected because, like just you said, I'm a very social guy. And most of the things that I do involves me meeting young people, meeting people at church, we're greeting people and all that stuff. So coming in with COVID-19, my response, first of all, when I heard about this virus that it's coming to Malawi, or it's in Malawi, then we had these cases, honestly, I was very anxious. And then I read this article saying, you know, people who have underlying, you know, diseases just like asthma, myself being asthmatic, I was very afraid, to be honest. Like, man, I'm already dead, and this virus is already here, and I'm gonna go. And how people also were speaking about it, especially talking about people with asthma, it was quite crazy because I couldn't see myself living. But I thank God that I'm still alive over to today. But honestly, this has affected my ministry a lot, in a sense that I cannot meet people, you know, face to face. I have to call them. It's different because when you are talking to someone face to face, you can see their emotions, their responses, and then it's even way better. You don't have even to worry about airtime and all that stuff. But now that I have to do this, honestly, it has kind of like brought a barrier from what I like doing, because I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy seeing people. I enjoy seeing them being happy. I enjoy seeing them responding to things that I do with them. So honestly, it has impacted me a lot and a lot of people around me. Sometimes I have a call, like a kid wants to meet me, but I cannot because of these restrictions. Sometimes I have just maybe a friend, not a kid, but someone from church. Like, I have this problem. Can we talk? Sometimes maybe they don't have enough airtime. Whenever I try to reach them out, their phone is off, things like those. So it has disconnected myself from people, but also from the things that I love doing. So honestly, this sucks a lot.
That's a very good way to put that. It does suck a lot. And yes. So, man, like, so many interesting things, you know, about your response. Obviously, the anxiety. I didn't know that you were asthmatic. And so, that's a revelation to me. And even, you know, now knowing that with what you still do and you still, you know, are helping out at church and these things and still trying to get out as much as you can. But, like, you know, and so you're still trying to play that role while all the time worrying about your own health, even more so than a lot, you know, you're in that higher risk category. So, man, God bless you for the things you're doing there and still peddling. You know, you're not staying shut in and locked at home. And so that raises that level of anxiety, but you also brought up a really good point that I didn't think about. So as you're used to mentoring and you have these kids, you know, this youth that look up to you and they want to reach out to you, but you guys can't because someone doesn't have data. Like, that is a separation level that a lot of people in the Western world, not understand, you know, because I don't want to say phone, you know, minutes, data plans and all that are so cheap, but a lot of people, you know, do have kind of unlimited data plans, and that doesn't exist. Right. And so I had to send you data so we could do this. I had to buy data myself so we could do this. And so phone calls, you know, especially to the youth who mostly are unemployed, phone calls Like you have to do the same with them. If they want to talk or you want to talk, you have money so they can buy minutes. So you say, just are you okay? And so, like you've even sent out tips, asking people if they're okay and making sure that you're are okay is so very important. But man, that's just such a great word from you that like you can't even call these kids and ask them if they're okay because their phone's off or you have data or a minute. So that's a huge weight on your shoulders.
For real, man. And it's quite crazy, man, because even sometimes I'm like, okay, let me just take a risk, but I'm also thinking about my health, like I said, I'm asthmatic. And then sometimes you try all the ways, but it's not working, but you still want to do what you would like to do to just reach out to a kid. You just want to find out how are they doing, And it's crazy. I mean, it's quite crazy. I've never imagined that things will be like this in my life.
Right. Well, hopefully it'll be coming to an end soon, and we can get back. So
Can't
tell
wait,
me,
man. I can't wait.
yeah, I know, me too. I can't wait. Like you said, sucks. So tell me a bit, like, what differences do you see in the way that kind of the rural village population is taking to sensitization of COVID versus the urban populations? Like, if there is any difference. The ministry has reached out, and so a lot of the rural villagers, they're aware that something's going on, or they're aware and they've been sensitized that there's this virus. You need to wear masks, social distance, wash your hands, all the things that are going on globally, they're aware of it. So do you see a difference in the way the urban population is behaving or taking the civilization versus the rural folks in the village?
Yeah, that's a very good point to note. I saw this when it was just new, when we just heard about this whole COVID-19 thing, the virus, and when we started getting like the cases, people now started panicking, started getting serious, washing their hands, using the mask and all that stuff. But I've noticed that things have been changing just lately here in Auburn. People seem not to be serious. I've heard people literally saying there's no such a thing like this COVID-19 virus here in town. These people are just faking. These people are just lying to us. So right now, I feel like people are just living their life normal. They don't even care. There's just a few people who are taking it seriously, despite all this sensitization, the government telling us to wash hands, the health experts talking about the dangers of the COVID-19 and all that stuff. I don't think people are serious here. But now, even though we have been doing a good job in urban areas, I don't think we've taken the same way of how we are doing things here and also helping our people in the rural areas. To be honest, a friend of mine went to the village and he was wearing a mask, and then these people were asking him, like, why are you doing this? What's up? And then he started explaining. They were like, we don't know anything about this. So I don't think we've done a good job reaching out to people in the rural areas just to sensitize them, to tell them what's happening. I mean, it's quite crazy. If this thing is going to come and take roots in Malawi, honestly, I'm thinking about my people in the village. They're going to suffer a lot because at least we're better off here. But with the information, because we've been informed, it's only that maybe we're not taking it seriously. But those people in the rural areas have been informed just like how we have done here. Honestly, that's my concern. Like, I mean, when I think about my people in the village, it concerns me a lot.
Yeah. Well, I know that also causes you some anxiety because you're a guy that really cares, like deep in your heart, you care. So you would say there's still a lot of room for sensitization, and just underlying health risk in the villages.
I mean, we really do need to do something about this. Honestly, I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, you know what? We should not maybe wait for the government to do this. As people, as individuals, maybe we can work out something. We go into the villages. It starts with your own family. Call them and tell them what's happening and how they can take care of themselves. Send them tablets of soap. Maybe set up like hand washing stations in your villages. And I mean, you don't have to wait for someone to come and do this for you, because if my relative's gonna die, they'll be my people and I'll be affected. So what if we just go and initiate this?
Yeah, that's a great thought. That's a great thought. I know you're a man of action, and so I know that that'll be done probably by next week by you. You're right, not by the government, but by you. And so,
yes,
what a great thought. So you touched on it a little bit, and so my next question is: overall, do you think the perception in Malawi is that COVID is not real, and are people taking it seriously? So we see the political rallies that are going on with elections, you know, the re-election or the new elections, I should say, coming up. So thousands of people. So you touched on it, but underline it again. Like, do you think most people think it's either real or not going to hurt them?
I'll even give you my personal examples. I've had conversation with people where people are literally saying this thing is not real. It's just political. They just want to control us. So looking at also what's happening out there, the political rallies, a lot of people are there gathering. And then the same government is telling us no social gatherings. You know, there has to be social distance and stuff like that. It's proving to say people are not serious. And for them, this thing is not even real, to be honest. On the ground, these things are not real. We were serious in the first place, but I think we've lost it somewhere. Maybe because it hasn't hit us the way it has hit other people in other countries. But honestly, here in Malawi, people are not taking this seriously. And I can say we are saying it's not real.
Yeah, I see that too. You touched on a really good point, though. Like, Malawi is holding it still less than 80 cases, I think, as of today, unless there were new announcements. And still only 3 deaths since April that are attributed. And so we feel pretty good about we feel okay about some of the testing. Like, there are places where people can do tests. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just, the people aren't lining up in the hospitals. There aren't people, you know, outside the morgues, you know, and so I can see where people might think, it's not that bad. It's not, you know, let's get back to normal. What is interesting is it's, I don't know if you're able to keep up, but just to briefly speak, the same thing's happening in the States right now. You know, there are a lot of people. The whole thing was just, it's just a bad flu, you know, like think real, but they don't think it's as serious as, you know, what outlined. And social distancing helped. And it helped, I think, here in Malawi.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it helped mitigate some of the advancement. But I think you're right. I think now we're like, they're tired of being locked up. They're tired of being told what to do. And they want to go. They want to go back to normal.
Like where I'm coming from, because I stay in Area 25, the government, in the first place, when we had the first cases. So in where I'm coming from, Area 25, we've had 2 cases. And one death out of the numbers from Malawi came from my area where I'm staying. So the government came and closed all the bottle stores and pubs and bars. And only for the 3 days, it was quiet. But after that, I'm telling you, if you can come, it's all noisy. There are a lot of social gatherings and stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a social country. I mean, people are around. You know, you can't... can't stay shut in because you have to go, you know, you really have to go work during the day, find your food, get your stuff.
Yeah,
you know, survival kind of mentality. But, you know, it's social and beautiful, and people hang out and talk. And that's what that's one of the beautiful things about the country. People. So tell me a little bit, what are some of the things that you miss most about the pre-COVID days before all this? Like, what can you not wait mentally, physically, spiritually to get back to?
Well, man, I can't wait to be in church. I can't wait to be with everyone and worship God in church. Can't wait to greet people by the door. I love doing this, shaking their hands, hugging them,
Yeah.
checking on them, and physically, I love doing this. I cannot wait to do this. I can't wait to meet my boys. I can't wait to meet them, and joke with them, sitting down without being afraid of anything, talking to them, having Bible studies together. Can't wait to party with them. I can't wait to go to the market, buy things I want, because I'm scared to go to the market because there are a lot of people and stuff. So I mean, honestly, I can't just wait to do all those things that I love doing. I love people. I love to be in their presence. I love talking to them. I love seeing them, responding to things that we're doing together. And weekly for me, before COVID-19, myself and my team, we used to go into different schools where we could have what we call a club, where we invite young people to come and we could have fun, sing songs, playing games together, and at the end sharing the word of God with them. We can't do that because of everything that has happened. The schools have been closed. I can't wait to see schools being open so that we can go into the schools and meeting young people and speak to them and talk to them. So also I organized a very small, we call it group therapy, where a couple of people that I know that I've been speaking to about the mental health and well-being. So we are coming together in the presence of a professional counselor. So we could just sit down, like maybe 10 or 15 of us, being together and talking about our lives, sharing our life stories and pains and the successes and other stuff. But right now we can't do that because of all these restrictions that are there. I can't wait to meet those people again. I mean, I've missed life a lot.
Yeah, well said. And like I said before, I know you're a social guy, and yeah, I can't wait to hug you walking into church. Like you're always one of the
Yay.
first I see, and like we hug it up, man, before we go worship.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, man.
I can't wait, man. Well, like it's coming. God's gonna bring us all back together. So for my
Amen.
final question, it's a very good answer. It made me miss those things even more the way you're talking. But for my final question, give us top three things. Like you give tips about mental health, like on WhatsApp, on Facebook, and like you're very in tune. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you as a guest. Like, as a counselor and a mentor and a leader, you're very in tune. You're one of the first to come out in Malawi that I saw on my social media and say, hey, protect your brain, like protect your mental health. Be thinking of these ahead of time. Like you did that whenever it was first, but maybe even before the first cases or just after. And so you're always in touch with that. And you do a great job of educating on suicide prevention, depression, just really diving into subjects that other people will back away from, especially us big, strong men, right? Like we don't talk about this stuff, but we should. And so you just do a great job of that. So give me your top three things or five things. Just your top few things that you're gonna that you tell that you're still connected with as far as how to stay mentally healthy during this time, how to respect each other's opinions, differences, thoughts, the people that think this is fake versus the people like you who know it's real. And you're at a high risk group. And so you gotta deal with these people who are like, come on, man, it's fake. Like, let's hug. And you're like, hey, I don't wanna die. Now let's give it a few weeks. So just give me some tips. Give me the top three things that you keep close to you and take as your own advice or give to other people on daily things they should do to stay mentally healthy.
All right. Just to begin with, I can say that our freedom, our well-being depends on the healthy status of our mind. It's very good that we take care of ourselves mentally, because it will determine how we also respond to things when they come to us. I always tell myself and other people to also stay healthy physically, So find a hobby whenever such things happen, because physical exercise helps a lot when it comes to mental health, for you to grow mentally proper. Another thing that I can also tell people is to check on each other. You can just text and just say, "Hey, how are you doing? How can I be praying for you? Or is there anything that I can do?" At least your friends need to know that they're not alone, but there's someone who cares. It's very good. It feels good if you know that I'm here, but I'm not alone. I have someone who cares about me. So the same thing that you do to other people will also be done to you. People will start coming and checking up on you and stuff like that. And also, there's something that I always say: think about yourself. Sometimes it's good to put yourself first. So what I'm trying to say here is that watch what you are hearing or what you can see, because there are a lot of fake news concerning about the COVID-19s and stuff like that. So make sure you're getting from credible sources the information, and don't stay too much watching news that is talking about COVID-19 if you cannot process those things well. I can say stay away from that, but stay informed, because if you can, I mean, you need to know yourself better to get it. Eat well, at least 3 meals in a day. Drink water, take care of yourself. This is how the body also responds. When you are hungry, say, "I'm hungry." So it's being honest with yourself. When you're sad, say, "I'm sad." When you have anxiety, I mean, seek for help. Don't take things personal. Don't take it to yourself. Talk to someone. There are so many people out there who cares, because sometimes you feel like I'm here alone, but you'll be surprised when you start talking to people. There are other people who respond even well and better. I'm speaking this to my own experience, because I've suffered depression a lot. I thought I was the only one. I thought nobody cares. When I started reaching out to people started reaching out to me and started relating themselves to me. And I found out that I wasn't alone, and people started helping me, counseling me and all that stuff. So stay healthy, eat well, exercise, speak to someone. And also another important thing, sleep well.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say is find good hours to sleep. Don't sleep 2 hours, because you wake up tired. At least a minimum of this, the science says a minimum of 8 hours. In the afternoon, you can take a nap for an hour. At night, I mean, don't stay watching movies all night. Find time to sleep. That's how you even take care of yourself. You put your mind at rest. Your mind needs to rest so that it can take care of other things while you're sleeping. It can heal you, it can concentrate on healing, recovering the body cells that have died and all that stuff. So find good time to sleep. It's very important for your health. So those are a few things that I can share right now.
That was fantastic. So a lot of great advice and just some fantastic points and tips for anybody listening to stay healthy mentally, watch your physical well-being as well, because that drives your mental well-being. Very, very good points. And sleep, like even me, the last few nights, probably about a week now, like I've had trouble sleeping, and I can tell getting irritable, and so that really hit a personal note for me, so I appreciate that. And man, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day and being on with us here at God's Idiot Abroad, Thoughtful Thursday. You gave us a lot to think about.
Sure, man. I'm also grateful that you thought about me, man. This is a very big opportunity for me to, share about my heart and stuff that I care so much. So I'm grateful for this opportunity too.
Well, no, that's my pleasure. Our pleasure to have you here. And man, I love you. I support you, and I just think you're doing great work, in your business. What a creative thing, and obviously helping at the church and getting out in the community. The world needs more Harrys. I think anybody that knows you would say.
Yeah.
We appreciate your
Sure.
thoughts and appreciate your time, and I want you to have a great afternoon. All right, stay blessed, stay safe, and stay well.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you.
Give it up for Harry Ntabwe, everybody. That's right.
Stay tuned for a word from our sponsor and what's coming up next. Whew, how about that show? Did it make you crave the finest meats, artisan cheeses, fresh milk, and other dairy products too? Well, if you're like me, and it sounds like you are, a good show always makes me hungry. Let me tell you about Full Quiver Farms, a Christian family-owned dairy farm located in Kemp, Texas. One of the finest farms around, they sell top quality meat and dairy products throughout Central and Southwest Texas. That includes Whole Foods, co-ops, and other fine stores. If you don't see it in your local grocery store, ask them to get it stocked. You can also order online or just stop by if you're coming through. Mike, Debbie, and the family would be glad to see you. They also help support Africa Pete and I while we're doing the work here in Malawi and abroad. Remember, that's Full Quiver Farms in Kemp, Texas. Find them on Facebook or online at fullquiverfarmstx.com. Hey guys, Stanley Ray again. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you learned a little bit more than you knew before and had a little bit of fun doing it. That's always our goal here at God's Idiot Abroad. Tune in tomorrow, where we'll have Fireside Chat Friday. It's where me and some of my friends from anywhere in the world are just going to talk about what's going on. It'll be very relaxed, very cool, very down to earth, and hopefully a little informative and entertaining as always. That's Fireside Chat Friday coming at you tomorrow on God's Idiot Abroad. God bless. Africa Pete and I are out.